Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we do get started, I do want to let you know the program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. I want to thank Mark and also Jasmine. They both became Patreon supporters. Jasmine at our detective sergeant level. And that actually brings us to 50 Patreon supporters who are supporting the program on a monthly basis. Thank you so much for your support. And again, you can support the show patreon.greatdetectives.net or a one-time donation support.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Michael Shane. The original air date was August the 13th, 1945, and the title is Dr. Grant's Dilemma.
The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. The people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company, present The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. On those rare evenings when Mike Shane and his lovely associate, Phyllis Knight, are not eagerly in pursuit of a criminal, they are just as eagerly in pursuit of pleasure. But tonight, they are not even together, and the reason seems a little mysterious. While Mike glumly putters around his apartment all alone, Phyllis, in her apartment, has a visitor, a handsome-looking woman who talks with nervous gestures.
Now that I'm here, Miss Knight, I don't know how to begin. I asked to come here to your apartment tonight because I've got to talk to you.
You don't have to apologize, Dr. Grant. You asked if we could be alone. We are. You just tell me in your own way.
Well, Miss Knight, you've come to me as a patient to her doctor. Now I come to you not as a doctor, but as a woman in trouble. I've worried so about this thing. It's affected my work at the hospital. I can't sleep nights.
I've never seen you like this before. Dr. Grant, is it about your business? About one of your patients?
Oh, no, no.
Is it about your husband?
Well, no, not directly. I was so stupid, so foolish.
Oh, I think I understand. It's blackmail, isn't it?
How did you know?
From what you didn't tell me. I don't need to know what the situation is. You don't need to explain it. But whatever you do, you must not pay any blackmail.
That's the awful part of it. I already have.
Oh. When?
Years ago. It was back in St. Louis. Now the man turns up here in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. And now he wants more money.
$5,000 before midnight tonight. Oh, it wasn't anything criminal I did, Miss Knight. I was just foolish. And they made an example of me. They expelled me from medical school. I had my name changed legally and went to a different city and entered another medical college. As the years passed, I forgot all about it. I came to San Francisco and built up a fine professional reputation.
Just a second. I want to make some notes. What is this man's name?
John F. Hunt. I'm not afraid for my medical standing, Miss Knight. No one can hurt that. But it's my husband. Irvin isn't politics. His reputation is spotless. But this man forced me to introduce him to Irvin, and Irvin has taken a liking to him.
Oh, I can see where that might lead. A man who would stoop to blackmail won't stop there.
What am I going to do, Miss Knight? He's coming to the house tonight with some other guests.
Dr. Grant, you know that Mr. Shane and I work on all our cases together. He's had considerably more experience with this type of case than
I
have.
Would he help me? Could he do something?
Well, I haven't seen Mike fail yet on a blackmail case. Now, if you could invite us to your house tonight, you know, you could tell your husband that we're old friends.
Well, of course. As I said, Irvin has already asked several political friends in for the evening.
That's perfect. I'll telephone Mike right now, and then I want to get some more information from you.
Hello, Angel.
Mike, how'd you know?
I knew you'd get lonesome for me.
Oh, I'm just naturally weak, darling. Look, Mike, get shaved and put on a clean shirt, huh? We're going calling tonight.
A party?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, swell, we're due for some fun.
Not tonight, dear. It's going to be work. Dirty work.
Oh, good evening, sir. Miss Knight and Mr. Shane.
Oh, of course. Come in, come in.
Thank you.
My wife told me you were coming. I'm Irvin Grant.
How do you do?
I know you. I'll take your coat, Miss Knight. The butler's mixing drinks.
Oh, thank you.
Say. Gee, that's a beautiful ship model on the table, sir.
Oh, isn't it? Clipper ship, Flying Cloud, made by an old sea captain. If you'll excuse me, I'll go find my wife for you.
Thank you. Well, seems like a right guy.
Oh, yes. Dr. Grant's always talking about him. Very much in love with him.
Oh, boy, that ship model intrigues me. I'd pawn my soul for one like that. Phil. Phil, that sounded like a...
It was. It came from the hall.
Huh?
The next room, Mike. The door closed.
Mr. Shane, I heard a shot.
Yes. This door is blocked. There's something against it.
Mike, I think it's a body. Behind the door.
It's John Hunt.
What in the world is...
What happened?
It's Hunt. He's dead.
Very dead. Bullet right through the heart.
No.
I don't see a gun anywhere.
Which means murder.
Murder?
Call the inspector.
Right away.
Mr. Grant, Miss Knight and I came here tonight as your guests, but it so happens that we're private investigators. Now, may I ask if everybody in the house is present in this room?
Why, yes. Mr. McGuire there and Mr. Davis... That's Collins, the butler, in the doorway, and the cook.
Good. Now, the police will be here in a few minutes. For your own protection, while all of us are in sight of each other, I suggest you allow yourselves to be searched for a possible gun.
Well, I guess that's all.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not a police officer. I have no authority to search you. But this may save you a lot of unnecessary questioning later on.
Very well, Mr. Shane. You may start with me.
Thank you, Mr. Grant. Mm-hmm. All right. And you, sir, I don't know your name.
J. Hugh Davis. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Fine. Next.
No, I will not. Grant, this is an insult to your guests. I refuse to be searched.
That's your privilege, sir. And now the butler. Collins?
Yes, sir.
Okay, swell. And the cook?
Oh, no, monsieur. I have no gun.
Well, perhaps we'd better wait until...
I'll search her, Mike. The inspector said he'd be right over.
But I have no gun. I am afraid of guns.
I don't blame you. All right. All right, that's all.
And now, Phyllis, if Dr. Grant will permit you...
Oh, no.
Well, honey, wait.
Mr. Grant, if you'll stay right here, we'll talk to her. Come on, honey.
Please, Dr. Grant. You've got to get hold of yourself.
I'd have paid him the blackmail. I'd have done anything to avoid this.
Dr. Grant, the police are bound to find out about the blackmail. You can't cover it up.
Oh, no, they mustn't.
But they will, Doctor, they will. In fairness to yourself, you'd better tell your husband about Hunt first.
No, I can't.
Oh, of course you can, Doctor. He loves you. He'll understand. People have been blackmailed before.
No, don't you realize? John Hunt was my brother.
We'll return to the adventures of Michael Shane in just a moment. It used to be that washing a car meant the better part of a morning's work, with a lot of fancy equipment and getting wet besides. Well, times have changed. You can now do the same job in 10 minutes without even changing your clothes if you use Union Luster Wash. All you do is empty a small package of Luster Wash into a pail of water. Apply the mixture generously with an ordinary rag and then rinse off with a hose. That's all. In 10 to 15 minutes, your car is clean from radiator cap to taillight. Yes, it's as easy as that. Luster Wash is harmless to the finish and your hands, yet cleans almost magically without scrubbing. That's because Union Luster Wash is not a soap, but a special detergent compound which dissolves road film, grease spots, and dirt on contact, leaving the surface clean and smooth. Luster Wash will clean glass and chromium, too, and you don't have to use a chamois afterwards. You can buy a package of Luster Wash for only 10 cents at any Union Oil Minuteman station. One package is enough to wash any average car. Just drive in wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76 and ask for Union Luster Wash. Thank you. Mike and Phyllis find themselves guarding two very compromising and uncomfortable secrets. Secret number one, the man found murdered in Dr. Grant's house was blackmailing their client. Secret number two, he was their client's own brother. The inspector has just arrived on the scene, and Mike grows more and more uncomfortable under the inspector's question.
You trying to tell me, Mike, that you were not called in to investigate this murder or to represent anyone?
Well, Dr. Grant is Phyllis' physician, Inspector, and Phil suggested we stop in this evening for a little visit, you know.
Yeah, That's right. And we'd hardly got inside the door when we heard the gunshot. We ran down the hall and found the body here in the library.
Mm-hmm. And who was the last person to see him alive? Don't any of you people know? Mike, don't you know?
Well, I saw Dr. Grant and Mr. Hunt go into the library a few minutes before the shot.
You're Arnold McGuire, aren't you?
Why, yes, the Arnold McGuire of politics.
And which of you is Dr. Grant?
I am.
Doctor, were you talking with Mr. Hunt at the time of the gunshot?
No, I had just left him. I was on my way to the bedroom to fix my hair.
I've already searched everybody, Inspector, to see if they had guns, except Mr. McGuire, who objected.
Oh, that's so? Mr. McGuire, I'll have to ask you to cooperate.
I do not have a gun.
I'm sorry, sir. What's that bulge inside your coat pocket?
Business papers. They're confidential. They have no connection with this murder.
Perhaps not. Oh, by the way, Mike, is the body here just as you found it?
No, not quite, Inspector. Mr. Hunt fell against the door, and I had to push it open.
And that moved the body?
Yeah. You can see where the bullet went through the front of his coat. Made a nice, clean hole. No powder burns.
Mm-hmm. Means the bullet came from a distance. I'd say not less than 15 feet.
Oh, but this is a very small room, Inspector. You'd have to fire the gun way over in the far corner to be 15 feet from the body.
Mm-hmm. The shot could have come through the doorway. There are four doors opening into the library.
Yeah. In the position of the body here, it's in line with all four doors. Sergeant.
Yes, sir?
Make a list of everything in the victim's pockets and take a set of his fingerprints.
Right away, sir.
Can any of you tell us who Mr. Hunt was and what he did?
He was a friend of my wife, sir, from back in St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't employed at the moment. I was thinking of adding him to my staff. Mr. Davis here is so overworked.
I see. And Mr. Davis is...
I'm Mr. Grant's political manager.
I see. Well, now let's find out where all you people were at the time the shot was fired.
Dr. Grant said she was on her way to the bedroom. Now, where is that located, Doctor?
It was the downstairs bedroom. That door there leads to it.
The door on the left, Mike.
And you, Mr. Grant?
Why, I think I was in the hall. I was looking for my wife. Then I saw Mr. Shane trying to push the library door open.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. McGuire?
Why, I was in the living room. That's through the second doorway on the right there.
And I was in the dining room eating a sandwich.
That would be the first door on the right, Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Then you were all separated. No two people in the same room.
And all had access to the library. What about the servants?
I am Collins, sir. I was in the butler's pantry mixing some cocktails.
Hmm?
The cook was in the kitchen right next to me.
Oui, monsieur, that is the truth. We heard the bang, and I was almost scared to death.
Where is the kitchen and the butler's pantry?
In the other wing of the house, sir.
Do you suppose the shot could have come through this window here?
How could it? The windows were closed, and there's no bullet hole through the glass.
No, and it must be 10 or 12 feet down to the ground.
Oh, Inspector.
What is it, Sergeant?
So I found this check crumpled up in Hunt's hand.
Let's see. Paid to the order of John F. Hunt. $500, signed John Hugh Davis. What is this, Mr. Davis?
Why, that's just a check I gave him on a business deal. It was a personal matter.
Mm-hmm. Business deal? Why, Davis, I thought you were so bitterly against my hiring Hunt.
I was, so far as your business was concerned, but for my purposes, he was quite all right.
I think we'd better take a look at Mr. Hunt's living quarters. Maybe we'll find out about some of these personal business deals and why someone wanted to kill him.
Here's his address from the wallet, Inspector.
Want to go along, Mike?
Well, I doubt we'll find much, Inspector. I got a hunch the solution is right here in this house.
And just the same, we'll check up. Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Nobody is to leave this house till we get back.
Yes, sir.
Collins, will you find my coat for me, please?
Of course, ma'am.
Mike, you and Phil and I have been friends for a long time, haven't we?
Oh, I guess for more years than Phil would like to admit. Oh.
Yeah, you two have helped me out on many a case. You've always played fair with me in the police department.
What are you driving at, Inspector?
I know that you kids didn't come here just for an innocent social evening. And I noticed, Mike, that when I started to question Dr. Grant, you switched me off on another track. What are you holding out on me?
Okay, Inspector, okay, but you've got to keep this under your skullcap.
I can't promise that.
Well, I think you will when you know. John Hunt was blackmailing Dr. Grant.
Blackmailing? Why didn't you tell me? There's our motive.
Oh, no, don't be silly, Inspector. Dr. Grant came to my apartment and told me the whole story an hour before the murder. Well, she wouldn't tell me and invite us to a party and kill a man with all those people around.
All right, but she did give you a lead that would help us.
Well, I can't remember everything she said, but I took notes in shorthand as she talked.
All right, Phil, let's have
them. Your coat, ma'am.
Oh, yes, thank you. I left the notes at my apartment. Mike, you give me the keys and I'll run over and pick them up, huh?
Okay.
And while you're doing that, Phil, Mike and I'll explore the apartment of John F. Hunt. Telephone bills, gas bills, Ann's old laundry list. Mike, the desk is crammed with junk, but nothing that matters.
Well, that's what I expected. Hunt was too smart a guy to leave anything important lying around for some... I take that back.
What?
Here's a manila folder in this bureau drawer.
Some clippings with a photograph pinned to them. Snapshot of a boy and girl in a canoe.
Yeah, and some writing on the back. Malcolm and Mary, June 12, 1914.
Hey, look at this first clipping underneath the photo. Legal notice. Change of name from Mary Boyd to Mary Allen. And the next one. Prominent attorney marries woman doctor. Last night, Irving Grant was wed to Dr. Mary Allen in a simple ceremony at... Mike, this is a file on Dr. Grant, alias Mary Allen, alias Mary Boyd.
Yes, I know. John F. Hunt is another alias. He was her brother.
I see. Of course, you didn't let me in on that little fact. Now, how much more do you know?
That's all, Inspector. That's all. The whole works.
You sure of it?
Positive. And before you start jumping to conclusions, Inspector, do you know if the sergeant took those fingerprints of Hunt?
Yeah, I got them in an envelope here.
Well, then I suggest we go down to headquarters and see if we can collect some local color on Brother John.
Good idea, but what about Phil?
Well, I'm calling her now.
Hello?
It's Mike, Angel.
I'm typing these notes, Mike.
Well, listen, the inspector and I are going down to headquarters fingerprint checkup. You want to meet us there?
Oh, sure thing. Be there in a few minutes.
Okay, Angel, I'll see you at headquarters.
Well, Mike, looks like we struck the jackpot. Here's the card file on our man.
Under the name Malcolm Boyd. John F. Hunt must be a new alias.
Yeah. 1931 St. Louis. Forgery conviction. 3 years Missouri State Prison. 1935 New York. Forgery and blackmail. 9 years Sing Sing.
Wow.
1945 San Francisco. Drunk charge. Mike. Seems to be more and more little details you didn't bother to tell me.
This is the first I've heard about it, Inspector. Believe me. And I'm just as sore as you are. Dr. Grant should have told Phyllis and me. We're entitled to know these things.
Yeah. Dr. Grant may be a reputable physician. She may be married to a prominent man. But when her brother is blackmailing her, a brother who was an ex-convict, well, I couldn't give her a better motive for murder.
Agreed, Inspector. But I saw the way she reacted when she first saw the body. No matter what Hunt had done to her, she was still his sister.
And Irving Grant was still his brother-in-law.
Grant?
Yeah. Maybe this wasn't such a well-kept secret after all. Maybe Grant discovered his wife was being blackmailed, that his brother-in-law was an ex-convict. How do we know that Mr. Grant didn't kill the man to save his wife and to protect his own reputation? No answer for that, huh, Mike?
I was just thinking. Pretty much the same could be said about Grant's manager, Mr. Davis. You noticed how uncomfortable he got when we found his check for $500 crumpled in Hunt's hand? Just personal business deal, says Davis. But I'll bet it was more blackmail.
Yeah, very probably.
And Mr. McGuire, why wouldn't he let us search him? What were those private confidential papers in his pocket which he wouldn't show us?
Yeah, both men are suspects. But, Mike, don't try to kid me by laying down a smokescreen. I'm still going to follow the trail of your client and her husband.
Well, I can't argue with you, Inspector. Phil talked to Dr. Grant, and Phil knows more about the case than I do. Let's call at her apartment and see if she's found anything in those notes, huh?
She may be on her way over here right now.
Hello?
Hello, Angel. Hello? Hello, hello?
Put down that phone, sister. You ain't talking to anybody.
Huh? How did you... Who are you?
Hang up that phone.
What does this mean? Don't you dare.
Oh, don't try to bust past me, sister. You ain't going no place.
In just a moment, we'll rejoin Mike and Phyllis in their adventures. Ladies and gentlemen, would you like to be able to wash your car in 10 minutes without having to change clothes and at a cost of only 10 cents? Well, that's just how easy it is with Union Oil Company's Luster Wash. All you do is empty a package of Luster Wash into a pail of water. Apply the mixture generously over the surface with an ordinary rag and then rinse off with a hose. That's all there is to it. In 10 to 15 minutes, your car is clean from radiator cap to taillight without mess or scrubbing. That's because Luster Wash is not a soap, but a special detergent compound which dissolves grease spots, road film, and dirt on contact. Luster Wash is harmless to your hands, yet eliminates the hard work of old-fashioned methods. It makes glass and chromium sparkle, too, and you don't have to use a chamois afterwards. You can buy a package of Luster Wash for only 10 cents at any Union Oil Minuteman station. One package is enough to wash any average car. Just drive in wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76 and ask for Union Luster Wash, the new easy way to wash your car. Phyllis is still in her apartment, but very unwillingly. A strange man is pointing a gun at her heart.
You're insane if you think you can get away with this.
I'm doing it, ain't I? Now, for the last time, hand over those notes on Dr. Grant.
Well, you've got them. I just finished typing them.
No, I want the rest of them. This stuff don't mean anything.
Well, that's all there is. What did you think Dr. Grant told me?
Trying to be smart, huh? Sorry, I ain't telling you. Hand over those notes, or do I have to slap you around?
Phil! Phil!
My...
Shut up! One sound out of you, and I'll kill you.
You're caught. It's Mike. And the inspector, you can't get away.
Phil, honey, open the door. Answer me.
Tell him to wait a minute.
Just a minute, Mike.
Now, I'm going to stand behind the door. You open it and tell him to come in. If you make one squawk, one little tip, I'll let you have it right in the back. Now go on.
Well, they're gone. The hall's empty.
Yeah. Maybe it's a trick.
You bet it is. Hands in the air.
Hand over your gun.
Mike. Mike, he wanted my notes on Dr. Grant. I gave them to him, but he kept saying there were more, and there aren't.
Then Dr. Grant knew something about this guy, and he killed John Hunt.
Know any more gags?
Plenty. All right, Inspector, let's take him back to the house. We're going to find out who he's working for.
Mr. Shane, I've never seen this man before in my life.
It's an insult to even think I'd have anything to do with a criminal.
I say the same. This thing has gone far enough.
Then if we're to believe all of you people, nobody here knew this man.
No. Well, it means just one thing. Somebody is lying.
That man is the murderer, and you've caught him, and yet you accuse us.
No, he's not the murderer, Mr. McGuire. If he had killed Hunt, he wouldn't be afraid to murder Miss Knight. Instead, he argued around with her, and...
You haven't told us why he went to Miss Knight. What was he threatening her about?
I prefer not to explain that, Mr. Grant. But he was working for somebody here who...
Tommy Rutt. He killed Hunt. He sneaked up to the window and shot him.
That's impossible. The window is 10 or 12 feet from the ground, and the windows were closed.
Wait a minute, Inspector. Wait a minute. Maybe that's it. Phil, after we heard the shot, how long did it take us to get into the library here?
Oh, I'd say less than 60 seconds.
And did you smell any gun smoke in the room?
No, I didn't smell anything.
You wouldn't. If the windows were open and the shot came from outside...
Well, then somebody must have closed the windows during all the excitement, Mike.
But, Mike, we decided the shot came through one of these doors. The body is completely out of range of the window.
Yes, but where was Hunt standing when he was hit? How do we know he wasn't standing right here by this desk in full view of the window?
Before he died, he could have staggered clear over to the hall door.
Mike, a man would have to be 12 feet tall to fire through that window.
No, Inspector, no. He wouldn't have to be 12 feet tall, and he did shoot through this window. I understand it now.
All right, show me.
I'll open the window. Now, will all of you people go back to where you were when you heard the shot? We're going to fire a gun again, and you're to tell us if it sounds the same way. You too, Collins. You and the cook go into the kitchen.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant, will you please stand in any one of these four doorways, it doesn't matter which, and fire a blank cartridge. Now, give Phil and me about 15 seconds to get to the outside entrance.
Yes, sir. I'll come along with you, kid.
Hey, I remember Mike was admiring that ship model when we heard the shot.
Yeah, I see it.
There it goes. All right, honey, how did that sound to you?
Oh, no, it wasn't the same shot at all. This one was much louder.
That's right, because the bullet which killed Hunt was fired from outside the house by somebody inside the house.
Mike, that sounds impossible. How? Who?
Come on, follow me.
Hey, this is the butler's pantry.
Yeah, clear in the other wing of the house.
Excuse Jane. I heard the shot, but I told Monsieur Collins it did not sound right.
Thank you, Ivy, thank you. Now, Inspector, you will notice if you will look out this pantry window here on an angle, you can see the library in the other wing.
Yeah.
I'll raise the window. Now, all I have to do is take my gun, lean out the window.
I see. The shot would sound as if fired outdoors.
Yes, and if I fired now, as I'm aiming my gun, the bullet would go right through that open library window and hit the library desk.
But, Monsieur Stain, there was nobody in here. Monsieur Collins was mixing cocktails right there. I was making sandwiches in the next room.
Of course. I was talking to Ivy all the time. I had the cocktail shaker in my hand.
And a gun in the other hand, Collins. When the cook wasn't looking, you leaned out of the window.
You're crazy.
No, Collins, it has to be you. You see, besides the inspector and myself, you were the one who knew Miss Knight was going to her apartment to get those notes. When you brought her her coat, you overheard us. You were afraid of what was in those notes, so you phoned your pal to get them away from Miss Knight.
This whole thing is cockeyed.
You know, Collins, you sound less and less like a butler and more like an ex-convict.
Why, you...
Grab him, Inspector. Wait a minute. Wait. Uh-oh. He reached for this cupboard. Let's see. Aha! The missing gun. And one bullet fired.
That's all, Collins. I think you'd better wear these, for safety's sake.
Inspector, would you mind...
Leave it to me, Mike. Murder's solved, and I think the motive is something of interest only to the district attorney.
Come in, Inspector. Mike's been reheating the coffee for you.
I was longer at headquarters than I figured.
Oh, hi, Inspector. Well, did he confess?
Yeah, pretty much as we expected. Collins served time in the penitentiary with the guy who broke into Phil's apartment. Two of them met Hunt in prison and found out Hunt was planning to blackmail his wealthy sister when he got out.
So they decided to cut themselves in, eh?
That was it. Hunt was working with them for a while. He got Collins into Dr. Grant's home as a butler, so Collins could keep an eye on things for him. And Hunt got bigger and grander ideas of blackmail and started to cheat the other two. That was his fatal mistake.
Oh, and I suppose Collins figured he knew as much of the dope as Hunt, so why split the money three ways?
Exactly. And Mr. McGuire and Davis, they were like the others on the wrong end of Hunt's blackmail, the paying end.
Huh?
I wonder who that could be.
Excuse me. Yes? Oh, that's for me. Well, thanks.
A package. Oh, look, a big one. Who's it from, Mike?
Oh, well, wait a minute. Let's see. It's from Irvin Grant.
Well, open it, for Pete's sake.
Oh, boy. Phil. Phil, it's Grant's ship model, the Flying Cloud.
Oh, the one you admired in his house.
I wonder. You suppose he did know the truth about Hunt? But this is his... Well, his way of thanking us?
It could be. Oh, Mike, it's beautiful. I know just where it should go, on the table in the bay window.
No. I want it over the fireplace.
Oh, no, Mike. It'll look perfect in the window with the harbor as a background.
Andrew,
huh? Wait
a minute. Whose apartment is this?
Oh. Well, it's yours right now, but I have hopes.
Again next week at 8 o'clock for another adventure with Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis, with Joe Forte as the inspector. Tonight's story was written by Richard DeGraff and based on the character created by Brett Halliday. Music was composed and directed by Charles Dent. This is John Lang saying goodnight for the people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series. Oh, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. Well, it's kind of interesting to have this successful female doctor as a character in a story set in the 1940s, though it was probably a bit less rare in real life than we think. At any rate, that will actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for The Avenger, and next Monday it'll be another episode of Michael Shane. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.